Hello, welcome to my podcast, Stories at Will. Thank you for finding me. My name's William Lewis. During September 2022, we were all transfixed by a major event. But our first story today tells what really happened. It's called A Life of Service. Many stories begin with an unexpected ring at the doorbell, and this one is no exception. Although this one is definitely not like the others because A, it's true, and B, it involves great matters of state. I was round at my mum's. I usually call in on a Thursday to see that she's okay. She's getting on a bit. She was 92 last year. But she's in good health and enjoys her life, though she doesn't do her taekwondo so much these days, and the aquarium is pretty empty now, save for a couple of crabs. We'd had our tea, and Mum was washing up in the kitchen when the bell rang. "I'll get it, Mum," I called. I opened the door, and a well-dressed man in his late 40s said, "Good evening, sir. Are you Mrs. Esme Wilkins?" No, I said. I'm her son."
"I thought as much," he said. "Well, never mind. I'm Inspector Henderson from the Royal Protocol Squad. May I come in for a few minutes?"
"Certainly, Inspector," I said. "Come this way." As I closed the front door, I was surprised to see a number of black Range Rovers parked outside. I showed him into Mum's lounge, where he took a small pen-like device from his inside pocket, waved it around the room, grunted, put it back into his pocket, and sat in Dad's old armchair. I perched on the settee.
"Now, sir, just a few preliminary questions before we start. Do you believe in God? Have you ever voted Lib Dem? Are you a Leaver or a Remainer? Do you need a levelling up? Where do you stand on sitting? Could you mend a puncture? Are parrots a good thing? Have you ever been prorogued? Would you support the introduction of the death penalty? Should farting in crowded places be a public order offence?"
"Oh, yes, to the last one, Inspector," I said. "I'm afraid I got a bit lost in the rest." He took some papers from another pocket and said,
"No matter, sir. Just sign here. It's the Official Secrets Act. Doesn't mean much, unless you break it, of course. So just sign. Won't take a moment, sir."
"Okay, Inspector," I said. "Can I borrow your pen?"
"Certainly, sir. Just got to get my gloves on first. Forensics, you know."
After I'd signed, he leaned forward and spoke in a quieter voice.
"It's like this, sir. We need your help. You know that with the Royals, we have to plan everything months, years even, in advance."
I didn't, but I nodded politely. He continued,
"Well, sir, we've got the Queen's death and funeral all booked in for August. She wanted to get the Platinum Jubilee over. She was keen not to miss it. Then we needed to give the new king plenty of time to get settled in and think about his Christmas message. We thought she'd agree to it. She's had a good run at the job, and August is always a quiet month for news, so she should have got plenty of coverage. But then the Conservative leadership contest threw a spanner in the works. We had to wait for a new PM. Couldn't have Johnson leading the tributes about honour and decency, especially after that Duke of Edinburgh Eve funeral fiasco. But in the meantime, she's opted it, scarpered, buggered off, legged it. We don't know how she's done it or where she's gone, but now we need a substitute queen for the death and funeral rituals that are all planned and waiting. We've interrogated a few footmen, by legitimate means, sir, low voltage mostly. I'm sure you'll understand, but we've not got anywhere yet."
"Well, yes, Inspector," I said. "I can see that that's very tricky for you, but what's it got to do with me?"
"Nothing exactly with you, sir," he said. "It's rather more about your mum. Facial recognition software, coupled with some genetic medical records and our latest algorithms, indicates that your mum is a close match for the Queen. In a nutshell, sir, we need a dead Queen, and we thought your mum might be up for it. We need someone to stand in for her death and funeral, duty and service and all that. And there could be something in it for you, sir. How does William Wilkins, MBE, sound? Okay, Inspector, I said. Mum's always been a great fan of the monarchy, so I'm sure she'll be keen to help you. I'll have a word with her tonight.
Thank you, sir, he said. Much appreciated. Here's my card. Just give me a call when you've arranged it. Any time of the day or night. Within the next 36 hours, of course.
We discussed a few more of the details. Then I showed him out and went back into the kitchen to bring Mum up to date with the country's hour of need and her part in it.
Will it hurt, son? She said. You know I don't like injections.
No, Mum. You'll be fine. It's just some powder to go in with your gin and Horlicks when you go to bed, and you'll just drift off into a long, lovely sleep.
Mum was quiet for a few minutes, thinking hard. Then she said, I think it's the least I can do, son. After all, think of all she's done for us. All those years of selfless service, just for us. And now it's my chance to do something for her. Yes, I'll do it.
That's the spirit, Mum, I said. Imagine the bands, the fanfares, the clopping of horses' hooves, the Archbishop of Canterbury, your favourite hymns. And you've always wanted to visit Windsor Castle. Next day, I phoned Inspector Henderson, and after that things moved pretty quickly. I asked him if I could be at the funeral ceremony. He told me that it was just for the VIPs and the foreign dignitaries. But if I didn't mind standing at the back, they could probably squeeze me in somewhere, if I wasn't too fussy. After that, I phoned the co-op to cancel Mum's funeral plan. I couldn't tell them why, of course, but they were very good about it. I have to say, it all went off very well. People queued for hours to pay their respects to my Mum, high up on the catafalque, in a beautiful coffin covered by this gorgeous flag. And she always liked a brass band. Of course, I missed her a bit, but she was getting on. And when all's said and done, it was better than the council cemetery. I didn't hear any more from Inspector Henderson, and his phone line always gave the number unobtainable tone the few times I tried to call him. I'm still waiting to hear about the MBE. But a few weeks later, a postcard with an Irish postmark arrived at Mum's house. It just said, Thanks, Will. I owe you one. Lilibet, X. This next story is also in my second book, with a remarkable illustration from one of my German friends. In it, an elderly couple recall their various infidelities. It's called The Enduring Comforts of Memory. As countdown approaches. Ellen Rogers pulled her cardigan around her and reached across to the adjacent chair. Wake up, she said, prodding Richard as he dozed. There's a programme on about heritage sites. You might see one of your damn cathedrals. Look, there's Spofforth Castle. Richard remembered Spofforth Castle. That's where she went with the first one. At least the first one he knew about. She told him, Spofforth Castle, when Richard was working in the south. They'd meet, stroll through the ruins, then off to that hotel in Wetherby. She told him, the start of her infidelity, and of his betrayal. Over the years, there were so many more. It was my English heritage, she said. Of course, he'd forgiven her. Why ever not? He'd even found a strange excitement in hearing of her adventures. And he'd had his own life. And like so many other couples, they were still together, even now, in the nursing home. Ah, yes, he said. I remember Spofforth Castle. That was your first, I think. Almost, she said. But all that was your fault, you and your damn cathedrals. You were always away ticking them off your list. If you'd paid more attention to me and less to those old piles of stone, our lives might have been different. Yes, he said, the cathedrals. I remember. Barbara in Bristol, Lucy in Lincoln, Wendy in Winchester, Maisie in Manchester, she was fun, Edie in Exeter. I think she brought a friend too. Babs in Birmingham, very understanding that one. Nora in Norwich, bit of a trek, but she was worth it. Can't remember them all now, but I think I got through all 42 of them over the years. Some of them I ticked off twice. Do you think I didn't know, she said. Well, maybe, he said, but all that was a long time ago. Did you know that Doreen from Durham moved into room 17 last Tuesday? It's on the first floor. Can't remember her, he said. It was a long time ago. Yes, she said, a long time ago. Anyway, it's nearly time for countdown. Ah, yes, he said, nearly time for countdown. And fell asleep again to dream of Gothic arches, flying buttresses, and the sensuous curves of an OG window. Hope you enjoyed those two stories. Thanks for listening. I'll be putting new stories on Stories at Will every week or so. That's all for this time. Find me again soon at Stories at Will. This is William Lewis, looking forward to reading for you next time.